Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's TOC podcast. I'm Joe Weichert, chair of O'Reilly's Tools of Change Conference. New York TOC is just around the corner, and it's quickly heading towards a sellout. You can register for TOC New York and learn more about everything else we're doing at TOC at our website, toccon.com. Today's webcast features a couple of folks from Mob Notate. Ricky Wong is Mob Notate's founder, and Sean Garish is a PhD student from Princeton who's also a technical advisor for Mob Notate. Ricky and Sean, welcome to this TOC podcast.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So tell us about Mob Notate. What is it? You know, I had the benefit of seeing it at Books and Browsers, and I want the audience to hear all about it.
So Mob Notate lets ebook readers to follow or join any conversations that are already happening on the web within specific sections of the book. So we search the web for interesting conversations and use machine learning to match these conversations to the relevant parts of the text. So if you're a reader, right, reading a book about economics, and that person wants to find out what's being said about a supply curve section of the book in other places, maybe a post on Google+ or a video lecture on YouTube, and if they want, and they can also reply to these conversations directly within the book.
Okay. So, you know, Mob Notate focuses primarily on the social aspect and potential for content there. Well, there's a lot of skeptics out there, though, who say that, you know, reading is intended to be a solitary activity and it's not meant to be social. So how do you answer their concerns?
If social reading is done poorly, and, you know, then it can feel like a distraction. If social reading is done correctly, then it will feel like an on-topic conversation with a group of really, really interesting people and with the author as the host. And if you look at like the new Steve Jobs book, right, there are tons of reviews on Amazon, discussions on Goodreads, tweets from within the book while people are reading it, and comments on YouTube on the Walter Isaacson 60-minute videos. Yep. So it's already out there.
Right. So like Ricky said, the social activities are out there already. You don't have to recreate social behavior from scratch. You can build on it. The question then is how to find the best stuff and bring it in intelligently to engage people in a more social manner, really. In the right place, at the right time, and for the right people.
Yeah, and you know, on top of that, I've been pretty outspoken in saying that I feel like we're still in the very early stages of what ebook reader apps will be able to do. And I always say, you know, 3-4 years from now, we'll probably look back at today and kind of chuckle at how quaint and unsophisticated the tools are. And I've got to believe that's even more the case for the social reading features and functionality that will be ultimately built into all these reader apps. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. I mean, books don't have hyperlinks or tags that you can use for linking. I think the problem Mob Notate solved is that we're able to recreate a link from scratch from any section of the book to a relevant conversation that's already happening out there.
Yeah, so one of the challenges I see for you guys, even though I love what you're doing, is that as a reader, as a consumer, for example, I want all this to take place right within the app that I'm reading within, right? So within the Kindle app or the iBooks app, let's say. So how do you get readers to engage in this if they're forced to read the content in something other than the reader app that they're generally using?
So Kindle and iBooks are huge sales channels that publishers cannot ignore, right? These reading systems, unfortunately, aren't as powerful as native apps. And to make it worse, we see social conversations are actually being fragmented across reading systems. You see conversations in Kindle, iBook, publishers' own native apps, websites, Facebook app, or just various online networks, right? And the situation is like someone reading a New York Times article on a Mac and is not allowed to read a comment from someone on a PC, right? You know, it's nuts. And now this problem is not going to change anytime soon. But in the meantime, what we can do is help publishers basically bring these social content across this platform back in and recreate a social enhanced version of an EPUB file that they can use to deploy on Kindle and iBook. This way, we at least let readers see what the conversations are out there. And this will work for majority of the readers who are usually just consumer of social reading anyway. And for the remaining 10% who do want to contribute to the flow, they would just have to break out Kindle and iBook at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense. And actually, to be fair, I guess one of the things I'm hoping organizations like Mob Notate and other startups can do is really push the Amazons of the world, for example, to enhance and improve their reader apps much faster than they have up to now. I'm really concerned about that. In fact, you know, I blogged several months ago that I really wish Amazon would open source their reader app so that the community could help build this kind of functionality. And interestingly enough, with the Fire, of course, since they're using Android, they are open sourcing part of it, but not all of it. So do you think that something like Mob Notate and other services like this will help Amazon, Apple, and others to innovate faster with their reader apps?
I totally understand that feeling. And also, to be fair to Amazon, right? They are an innovator in the sense that Kindle started this whole recent ebook boom. I think that they are a believer in expanding the reading experience. That's why, you know, Amazon Publishing Imprint signed up, you know, New York Times bestselling author Tim Ferriss, and they're creating a digital enhanced book for him, or their new ads author program, right? They're letting readers talk to authors directly, or they wouldn't, you know, invest in the Domino project unless Seth Godin run with it if they don't believe in the power of communities. Now, Amazon serves a lot of publishers, so they have to be more careful and not to change the whole world all at once. And some publishers are definitely moving faster than other publishers, and these are the same ones that created native apps in, you know, in the App Store. And I think with the Kindle Fire, Amazon is saying that this is an area that they want to see more of.
One of the things about the Kindle Fire and iPads is that they're great for reading books and long-form content, but at the moment they're awful at content creation. Typing into an iPad, for example, is really difficult. I mean, you might miss a key, you have to hit the delete button and such. But Mob Notate is really lowering the barrier for people to participate in the conversation. So what you'll see in the midterm is that the type of social engagement you can expect from readers on the iPad is going to be more like tapping and swiping, which means that you're, as a user, you're going to be more of a curator than a creator. It also means that you won't be making a lot of the social enhancements. Those will come from existing sources on the web.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sean. I want to drill into that for a moment here because I'm totally with you. I feel like, and in fact, I just bought a Kindle Fire and a Kindle Touch, and I love the fact that the clunky keyboard on my third-gen Kindle is now gone. Uh-huh. And I have been an iPad user since day one. Uh-huh. But like you said, Sean, I feel like it's all about content consumption and not creation, so I want an even smaller device than the iPad.
Right.
But if we're heading in that direction, how do we get past this point, or how do we turn it around so that there can be more content creation and interactivity like you're going to need, I think, for a social program to be successful?
So one of the ways that you can create a lot of content and that we're doing is by collecting existing conversations out there on the web. So, for example, if people are talking about biology, in particular something like cell division, for example, even which is something that plenty of textbooks out there are about, then you can use a number of advances in machine learning that are happening currently and continuing to happen that will allow us to, and this really does allow us to basically match this existing content with whatever you're reading in the book. Mm. So things that can find the gist of text, the theme of a text, and that's really what's allowing us to do this.
I love that, by the way, and that's something that I really think absolutely needs to happen. I just feel like if I'm reading, you know, I'm a big World War II fan, I read about FDR and, you know, different battles and so forth, and
right.
I know that there's this wealth of information out there, not just in the Wikipedia, but all across the web, and for some sort of an app to be able to intelligently kind of pull that stuff in for me and tell me what's the most important that I want to read related to this particular topic, there's a lot of value in that.
Right, right, exactly, yeah.
So it seems like, and again, kind of going back to the skeptics here, that they would say that a social reading tool is better targeted at textbooks, let's say, than novels. Do you agree with that, or you feel like it's beneficial to all types of content?
That's actually a really good question. So they're actually both social in different ways. We actually had the same question and tested this intentionally. We created an iPad app, book app for Alice in Wonderland, which kind of a proxy for fiction books, and another one for the Bible, and a proxy for nonfiction book. And what we have found is that on a relative scale, we see a lot more video and photo contributions in the Alice book, and a lot more text and comment contribution in the Bible. And also in the process of running this experiment, we created a tool to automatically convert any EPUB file into an iPad book app. And we now have actually 5 apps in the App Store, and this tool also allows us to do new experiments very rapidly and measure reader behavior and engagement without really spending any money acquiring readers. So, you know, we're more like a digital media guy, and this kind of test and iterate quickly process pretty much kind of how we approach these questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to talk for a moment about value propositions, which is something I think that's often overlooked in this space. And I'll go back to something I've been suggesting for a while, and got a couple kids in college, and so I've seen this firsthand with, you know, they buy a textbook, and at the end of the semester, if they want to sell it back, they get pennies on the dollar. If you look at a social aspect of a textbook and say, what if a great student could capture all the notes from the teacher's lessons throughout the semester, and maybe even kind of share those with their friends and build a terrific repository so that, you know, if somebody missed a class, they could just go to these notes and so forth, and you could package those with the e-textbook. I think you could kind of turn the used textbook market on its head. In other words, instead of pennies on the dollar value, it's a question of now this richer e-product having more value than the textbook by itself, because it has all these additional notes and social pieces. Do you guys feel there's a model there?
I do. I think the ultimate measurements of value is whether someone is willing to pay more for it, right? Mm-hmm. I went to study at a business school last year called INSEAD, and it's probably the only independent top business school in the world that is not part of a bigger university brand. So it's a very small and self-selected group of people. Now, the tuition for a 10-month program from INSEAD costs $75,000, right? And the reason people are willing to spend this kind of money is not really because of some special textbook cases or educational software. It's really about being in a niche community and in an environment where other students can bring in unique perspectives. Can a publisher do this, right? Can we sell notes? Can we charge more money, like a director's bonus cut in the DVD? We're actually talking to some publishers right now about applying our tagging technology to help them upsell and cross-sell additional material inside the book. Because if we can recommend other content from the web, we can recommend premium content too, right? I wouldn't, you know, at least right now, I wouldn't go as far as charging people money on other readers' comments. But at the minimum, you know, there should be some monetization opportunity here for at least for premium content.
Yeah, and if you think about it, though, you're right. Somebody's not going to pay blindly for some former student's content, but you can kind of let the community police itself here, and if that particular student gets high marks for other textbooks that they've resold content associated with, then I think they're going to build recognition and equity, I think, out there with the rest of the students. But I hear what you're saying about can you charge more for it, and at first maybe not, or at least unless until the next student can actually look close at the notes and see if they're really valuable or not. But I do think that what you get the benefit of here is, instead of just an author who maybe wrote a really good textbook, you get the benefit of other students, and as they learned that material, when the light bulbs went off in their head, what were those aha moments? And capturing that has a ton of value, I think, for a student. So, again, I think it's on the periphery maybe of what you guys are doing, but I think that it's closely related as well.
I certainly pay more money by a book, a classic book with, you know, expert description, expert footnotes in it, right? And I could have just gotten that for free from Gutenberg Project. Yeah. So I think there's definitely value in it. And, you know, there's discussion about like long tail niche notes, right? If I'm studying English 101 at UC Berkeley from Professor Jacob, having a notes for that class, you know, is even more valuable. So I think there's definitely value in there. Yeah.
Okay. Last thing I wanted to ask you has to do with just the usability side of things. And, the shared knowledge model that you guys are working towards with MobNotate is something that really has to be unobtrusive. So, in other words, you know, some people won't want to use it at all. But even those who want to use it, it has to get out of the way of the reading experience. So how do you balance those needs so that it's there when you need it, but it's not in your face?
Well, I think if we do a bad job, it'll be obtrusive. But if we do a good job, it'll be really great. And I think the easy way out would be to just give users an on-off switch. But we can do a lot better than that. I remember when I was at Google that people were concerned about adding images, video, and news snippets to search results. People there thought it would turn Google into another web portal, just polluting what was already known to be a really elegant interface. In the end, I think that the search team really found a solution that worked and made search rich and yet unobtrusive. And you can really turn it off if you really, really want to, but it's clear that most people don't. Most people are pretty happy with it. And since we're in the beginning of social reading, I think we should try to aim higher than just plain text.
Yeah, I hear you. But I think the success of social reading will depend on whether we can do a good job and find you the most interesting stuff. Most people will remain passive reader of social reading. And it's the small core group that's going to be creating most of the new content. And what they will create will benefit the remaining 9%. So our job is to make sure that we do our best at the user interface level, at the algorithm level, at the data level, and at a social curation level, so that it is not obtrusive.
Yeah, definitely. That Google example that you mentioned, Sean, I think is a terrific one, because today, imagine not having access to images and video. And so, we take it for granted, right? And I think that's what this has to become in the future, where the social feature is just built in and you feel like it would be a terrible experience if it wasn't there, right? Whereas now it seems kind of out there and edgy and hard to integrate with the reading experience, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ricky and Sean from ModNotate, thank you so much for being part of this TOC podcast.
A lot of fun. My pleasure.